I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast, Stories You've Missed. These are accounts of God's amazing grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. I'm your host, Blake Hardcastle, and I serve as a spiritual formation pastor at Grand Parkway. And this podcast is designed to aid up the local building up this local body by retelling the kindness of God. My guests today are Cynthia Buchanan and Nancy Treisch. Cynthia was born in Houston and grew up on the south side of the city. She was married for 30 years until widowed in 2014. She has two adult daughters and a son and three grandchildren. And she has had a degree in applied mathematics from the University of Houston. She was an IT project manager, and she worked with information technology infrastructure in the oil and gas industry, and she retired in 2017. Nancy grew up in Indiana in a very small town of about 1,000 people. She has three sons, Eric, Ryan, and Brad, and five grandchildren. She was married to Mike for 43 years and was widowed in 2011. She's worked at a bank, early education, and was an administrator for a men's soccer league. Welcome, Cynthia and Nancy.
Thank you.
And you've been kind enough today to have a conversation about something you've both experienced, which is widowhood, and really to recall God's kindness in this experience that we often would say, this is horrible and tragic and difficult and all that. And yet God is still himself, even when we experience those things. So why don't you just briefly give me kind of the general details of your situation. How long you were married, how'd you meet, and was your husband's passing a surprise? As they look at each other, and
well,
Cynthia goes first.
Cynthia goes first, yes.
In a sense, yes, it was a surprise.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't ill that long, but yeah, he was diagnosed with cancer, although behaviors had changed prior to that, so it was about a year later when he passed.
Looking back on it, there were some signs that
some
if you
signs
knew what to look for,
and
were looking
yes.
hard. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it wasn't a long
it wasn't,
ramp.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. Yes.
Now, you have an interesting thing where you met earlier than...
I was born in Ohio, and we moved to Indiana when I was 5 years old and started going to the Methodist Church, and Mike's family also went, and it was my birthday. And not knowing a lot of people or in school, the ones that came were members of the children mm-hmm. were members of the church, and Mike was one of them. So I have a picture of Mike and I at my fifth birthday party.
Oh, neat.
So you met
so
pretty young.
So we go
yes.
back oh, cool. a long way. We didn't start dating until he was a junior and I was a senior. He was a year younger.
In high school.
In high school.
In high school. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And Cynthia, what about you?
My husband and I met when I was at a really low point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And some friends told me, you need to go over here. And this is going to sound really strange, but he was working in a gun store, and I went into the gun store to talk to him.
Nothing sounds strange about that. This sounds delightful. I want to hear more.
Okay. My husband was, the thing that he liked to do the most was repair guns. And
like a gunsmith.
A gunsmith, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And he was very good at it, and he
yeah.
loved to hunt and fish, and he was a real outdoors person. And I grew up as a Girl Scout,
okay.
and we camped a lot.
Okay.
So
this is back when Girl Scouts were,
a big thing.
Yes.
Yes. And so we had a lot in common, and he taught me a lot of he taught me how to hunt. He taught me how to shoot a rifle.
Back up to you met him at the gun store. So he's working at the gun store as a gunsmith.
Yes.
You have to go in there your first time.
Yes.
You're going in there for the first time to?
Yes. To buy a grip for my brand new revolver.
So you already own a firearm.
I already own a firearm.
And
yes.
you've owned it long enough to go, you know what? I need a grip that fits me better.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So one of my friends said, you need to go over here and talk to Dan. Go
okay.
talk to Dan. So I went,
right.
okay. So I went in there and he was at the front counter and
okay.
we met and I looked in his eyes and it took about 2 minutes, I guess. And I went, this is the one.
Really?
I looked at his eyes and I went, this is a keeper. He's a good guy. Found him.
Yeah.
And we developed a relationship after that. He was a bachelor. And we...
You found that out when you were purchasing the grip. You found out.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He says, come back and see me. And I did.
Said,
and then we went country western dancing.
Yeah.
And it was from that point on, we had so much in common. He was my age, about a year older, grew up on the north side of Houston, and we both loved the music. And music was always in our house, and my kids will still say that there was just so much music going around. They got a music education from both of us. And it was such a good marriage where I could rely on him for, he was my partner. Mm-hmm. He supported me. He put me through college. Just, I can't express the wonderful relationship that we had.
Yeah. Yeah. Was his passing a surprise?
It was very sudden.
Okay.
His brother had passed 2 years before, almost to the day, from heart issues. And my husband came in from work and said, and I looked at him, and he was very pale. And he worked the late shift. So he came in about 8:30 at night, and he said, "I can't do this anymore." I said, "Fine, let's pull the plug, retire, and you're done. I'm going to keep working, and that's fine. No problem.
I have enough discount on firearms."
But yeah, we're good. We got enough in the safe. We're good. He was 63 at that point. So he wasn't quite retirement age, but he was done.
Yeah.
And we sat, the next day was Saturday, and we sat all day and talked about what we were going to do, our plans for the future. We were going to move to this side of town to be near our grandchildren. He was going to spend more time with the two grandsons. And 10 minutes later, he had a heart attack and died.
Wow.
And it was just so fast. And as soon as he had the heart attack, I knew it was over. And I know this sounds strange, but my prayer, I started praying immediately.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer was that God would not let him suffer. And God would take him to heaven and not let him linger and suffer on earth, because that's the last thing he wanted. And he had told me that.
Yeah.
So it was sudden, but it, you know, it's, you still grieve.
Sure.
Whether it's you lead up to it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. As you think about the plans you were, had, and we're anticipating, and that all gets cut short and ended. Can you also say something about how have you, looking back now, because you have some years behind you where you can maybe see, this is how God was kind here. He was here. What do you remember of now about God's abundant kindness in that, those experiences?
Well, that's easy because Mike was not a believer.
Yes.
And
so most of your married life, or all your married life, he's not.
He was not a believer.
You're a believer. He's not. Okay.
That's right.
And that probably had some tension in your marriage and relationship.
It was, but I learned a long time ago, you can't argue someone into salvation.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yeah.
You live the Christian life as well as you can and be a Christian wife. But
Peter says something about wives and taking them through your example. Yes, okay.
So I went to church by myself many years. And then when Mike started going, it was his doing, it was his choice. And he was still not a believer, though.
Now, were you? When did you come to Grand Parkway? When does this church body enter the picture for you?
Well, it was prior to the meeting in the school.
Okay, so 20 plus years.
I'm sorry, I said that wrong. It was they were meeting in the school.
Okay, in the school prior to here.
Prior to here.
At least a decade or more.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
So you're coming to church here by yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
For many, many years,
yes.
And. When Mike got sick, years later, when Mike got sick, his testimony was that God tapped him on the shoulder. He gave him a little bit of a shove, and then he knocked him down. And that
physically
was the cancer.
Oh, okay.
And that's when Mike came to know the Lord.
After this cancer diagnosis.
So, my grieving was a little different. Of course, there was normal grieving. But had it not been for the illness, I don't believe Mike would have come to the Lord. And he realized that God loved him that much that he would do whatever it took to save him.
Hmm.
So I have to be thankful for that.
So this kindness is grief mixed with
absolutely
a relief, probably in some way.
Absolutely, yes.
Because you probably have prayed for him a few times.
Yes,
be saved.
Absolutely,
a few decades, perhaps.
But God's goodness was always there. My prayer after Mike passed is, I know God, you have a plan for me, and just reveal that to me.
Yeah.
And he didn't. Do it, you know, in one revelation. It's like when I came to know the Lord, I can't tell you what day that was. It didn't work that way.
Yeah.
His plan didn't work that way either. It was a gradual thing. Mm-hmm. As a widow, I think you have to have a time period where you take care of yourself.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Because you're not any good to anyone else until you do that and go through that process first. And then Mike, God slowly revealed his plan to me, started volunteering more, folding bulletins, working at the nursing home.
Yeah. Retired at this point.
And, yes. Yeah. And in the process, he just put wonderful people into my life. And so his plan was there all along. It was just that I needed to trust him and let him lead me in the direction he wanted me to go.
I want to just, for another minute, touch on, so Mike came to faith.
Yes.
While he has cancer. And at this point, are you guys, is there, the doctors, as best they can, and, we think there maybe is this much time left. Is there some kind of like...
I was not told.
Okay. Maybe Mike was,
I found out later.
Okay.
After his first surgery. That the doctor had put in the record 6 months.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Mike was aware of that.
No, he was not.
He was not yet. Okay.
We went to MD Anderson for a trial program, and I was willing to do whatever Mike wanted to do, whatever the boys wanted to do. It didn't work.
Yeah. And so he comes to faith. You remember that? Day? Were you
I remember his baptism. You know, I was going to take pictures and I just stood there.
He got baptized here, Grand
Parkway. He got baptized here. Okay. I've been told, and I was just told recently again, that that was the best baptism they had ever experienced.
So this is, it's now almost the end of 2021. He passed away in 10 years ago, 2011. Uh-huh. So someone remembers 10 years ago. That this was a significant thing they experienced.
Absolutely, yes.
Why was that? Because it was a later conversion, or had they known you for years?
When Mike came to faith, he came to church one Sunday, and Marcy walked up to him.
Marcy is was pastor here. Yes,
Pastor Neil's wife, and she said, "You're a believer now, aren't you? I can see it in your face."
Wow.
So, and that gives me goosebumps.
Yes, absolutely.
Saying it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. But so, after he was baptized, he raised his hands and.
During the music.
During the baptism.
Okay, yeah.
And it was fantastic. Huh. So his passing.
Yeah.
It everything was different.
Yes.
It was glorious and it was devastating at the same time.
Mm. You've been married 43 years. The last year of your marriage, he comes to faith. So much so that, it's clear to people that you're a believer. Had you ever given up that this probably will never happen?
Well, you wonder sometimes.
Yeah,
you wonder. It's like when I pray for other family members. Yeah. Now, Lord, I may not see this in my lifetime, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you always have that hope.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that is a dramatic example of God's kindness. Cynthia, the things that come to mind for you, of things you experienced from God and kindness?
Well, I think besides this church,
right,
this body of people that is just so wonderful.
Were you were not here?
No, I was not here. I was on the other side of town, near Humble in Kingwood area, and I moved over here after I retired.
Okay.
The thing that I think the thing for me was that I didn't realize, you know, you hear all the time that God's in control. He's got a plan for your life. Mm-hmm. And you go, yeah, okay. So, and you raise your kids, you work, you have a marriage, you do all those things, and you expect to grow old with that person.
Right.
And at that moment, it was just, you know, like I said, he was gone. He laid down. I asked him, do you want dinner? He said no, and I was fixing my dinner, and I looked over there, and he was gone. It was just that fast, and at that flash, it's like, God, you just changed my life totally.
Yes. Yeah.
And I didn't understand what that purpose was, and for me, that was such a major revelation, was understanding that what I wanted to do was not what God wanted me to do.
And part of what we talk about is this decades more together.
Yes. I just really had.
Which sounds like a wonderful plan.
I mean, you grow old together. Yeah. You have a relationship. Yeah. You have a companion. Because after so many years, you know, you're comfortable together. Yeah. Yeah. You do things together. You have a good, strong relationship, and then boom, it's all gone. Mm-hmm. And, but I didn't know what God had in store for me.
Okay.
And I worked another, 3 years or so. And then the company, was bought by another company, and I was in 2 months of retirement age, and I went, okay, mark me down. Mm-hmm. I'm gone.
I've had enough.
I've had enough. Lay me off right now. In fact, I raised my hand and volunteered. I said, lay me off. And I remember my boss coming over and saying, hey, you got your wish. You know, you're the first one up. go to HR now. So I took my retirement money and came over here and bought a house. And actually, I had bought the house before. Right after my husband died. They tell you don't make any major purchases.
Right.
I was like, no, I'm done. Sold the house within 6 months and came over here because I wanted to be closer to my daughter and grandsons.
Yeah. And as Nancy said before, you know, part of you putting yourself together, or like, you know, for you, this is how it had happened. I need to be here by my kids, and I didn't need to wait years to figure out. I need
to be here. And that was our plan.
Yeah,
that was what my husband and I had decided we were going to do within the same time frame.
Mm.
We were going to come over to this side of town to be so, because he wanted to spend time with the grandsons. Yeah. But within just a few months of coming to this side of town, my daughter that lived in Arlington was having some issues, and she has one daughter who is now 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody up here knows Lily because she runs the church. Whatever I'm here, she's running through the church. But there was a need for me to step in. And since that time, my daughter has contracted some autoimmune diseases, two of them, and has some other medical issues. So it's now a necessity that she stay with me and the granddaughter stay with me. And this has enriched my life so much.
It's not a plan you would choose.
It's not a plan I would choose. I would not. You don't want your grown children moving back in with you.
Right.
You want to. This is your time of retirement. You want the solitude. You want to do the things you want to do.
Right.
And that's not what God said. He said, no, you have a granddaughter to raise. And so I'm really probably 75 to 90% raising mm-hmm. this granddaughter. And nothing against my daughter.
Sure.
Just
yeah.
It's just the what
the situation.
Happened.
Yeah.
It's what happened. And then coming into this church and realizing that I can bless other people.
Mm-hmm.
But Nancy said volunteer work. I was like signing up, volunteer. You know, what can I do for other people?
Uh-huh.
And so between, you know, this is not what I had planned for retirement. I was just going to do things for me.
Yeah.
But doing things for other people is just God's love coming mm-hmm. in. And it's the joy. And you understand now what those fruit of the Spirit are.
Mm-hmm.
And you experience that, and your life is so full after that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I miss my husband incredibly.
Is there a week you don't think about him?
There's not a day I don't mm-hmm. think about him.
Yeah.
And my husband was a Vietnam vet,
mm-hmm.
and he was so proud of that.
Mm.
That the hardest holiday for me to get there is not Christmas. It's Veterans Day.
Which was last week.
Which was last week.
Yeah.
So it's been a really rough week for me this week.
Even though this was over a number of years ago he's passed, but this was his favorite.
It's been
gone
7 years,
seven years.
It's like it was yesterday.
Yeah. There was something really significant you had said, which was, but something to the effect of, God's plans versus your plans and that... your plans in general were, okay, my retirement, it's time to spend this on me. It's time to serve me. It's time to do it. And that you experience, actually, now is the time to serve others. And this
yes.
is maybe more fulfilling than what I had planned.
Yes, because I'm not sitting at home alone.
Yeah.
This church, the body of this church, the people here have such fellowship. And Nancy took care of me when I first came over. And she's the one that kept saying, take care of yourself. I did not know that. She told me that. Mm-hmm. And
What's something you remember doing? Or what's something you remember doing, Nancy, that this was a take care of yourself thing?
Well, there are a lot of practical things mm-hmm. you have to take care of. That first year, financial things, just that kind of thing. And they have to be done. And then you have to give yourself time to, have quiet time, to have mm-hmm. some space,
mm-hmm.
to try to process everything that's happened.
Yeah.
And again, my prayer was, God, just show me your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And just, slowly he did.
Yeah.
And, what Cynthia does now with Hands That Bless is just
right.
absolutely remarkable.
Which is a ministry of our church of predominantly women, I think.
We're yes.
some guys
right
got some blessed
women.
Hands.
Yes.
We're helping to help you.
Yes.
But,
yes.
but you, the way I think about it, you take fabric, whether it's yarn or fabric mm-hmm. itself and thread, and you put it together and make something incredibly meaningful and valuable, often quilts or handmade things. Handmade
and it's
items,
it's to all ages of the church.
Yeah.
It's not restricted to one ministry. We
right.
go babies to old people.
Right, right.
And everybody
right.
in between.
Yeah. What would you say to I'm 49. I'll be 50 later this next year. Yeah, 50, a youngster. What would you say to someone who's, in their 40s and maybe they don't realize, but they've been thinking, oh yeah, when I retire, that's when I'm going to splurge on me. What would you say to them about, you might want to think that God's plan may very well be you splurge on others.
Yes. Well, your future is in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
So just be receptive to that. If you're married, work on that marriage. That's a big commitment mm-hmm. right there. And we don't know when that relationship
right.
might end.
I think one of the things that I wanted to say was that we always hear that God should be first, and then our families after that. When you put your husband or your spouse in that retirement age as, this is what I want to do, this is my plan, and you think about them as you are together with them, you still have to put God first out there. Mm-hmm. And if you put him above everything else, then when something happens like this, that he's there. He's right there. And you have that strength to depend on.
Mm-hmm. And also, you need to put your husband, you know, God is first, then your husband, then your children.
Right.
You do that, everything falls into place a lot easier.
Yeah. Yes.
You get the big pieces where they need to be, and all the stuff in between is not upsetting. What do you know now that you did not know before experiencing widowhood? If you could say something to 30-year-old you or 20-year-old you, what do you know now?
It's not the end of your life.
Ah.
God wants to use you until your last breath.
Hold on. I want you to say that. That's so good. That's so good.
Well, he does. My parents were living with us when Mike died. Mm-hmm. So I was taking care of them. Yeah. Then I was taking care of Mike.
Yeah.
And you would have thought, well, that's enough, Lord. Well, now I take care of a dear, dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And it's a privilege.
Elaine.
It's an honor.
Yeah.
It's an honor. And I think we need to pay more attention to our elderly anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's God's plan.
Yeah.
But he was preparing me for it.
Yeah. Ah. To be certain. And so your last breath, serving others.
Yes. And she says, okay, what use am I? Okay. She just turned 86.
Okay.
And I said, wow, I see a lot. You play the piano sometimes at the apartment complex. Mm-hmm. The old hymns that you love. You witness to the housekeeper that comes in and cleans your apartment.
At 86.
Yes. You have great wisdom. And I learned from you. We're doing a Bible study together, so we're growing in our faith.
You don't ever get too old to do Bible study?
And absolutely not. No. You're never too old for anything that enhances your faith in the Lord.
Okay. So good. What do you know now that you didn't know before this? Or?
Oh, my goodness.
What would you say to the younger you?
The younger me,
is
don't put so much stock in yourself, and put it more in, rely more on God to do it for you. And I was a project manager, so I pretty much told people what to do all my life.
I'm thinking applied math. I know how to fix things. I know how to solve things.
Should happen. You've got a skill set that a lot of other people don't have. So, you find your niche in there. But my personality was always classified as a driver.
Okay.
And I mean, I was like way off the chart. I wasn't even near the middle, not even on the chart. I was off the chart. So type A, extreme personality. Yeah. And
plan maker happen. Yeah.
Yes. Executor, telling people what to do. I was the one cracking the whip, stay on target, stay on budget. And
you had the firearms to back it up.
Yeah. And if you don't do it, I have a gun. Yes. But it's not me. I am not in control. Mm. And it's so hard for me with that being the person that
the
I am, the way God made me. It's harder for me to rely 100% on him. And I still have to remind myself that, hey, stop trying to do this yourself. Look to God and ask him, what should I be doing?
God hasn't finished changing you. He hasn't finished.
Oh, my goodness, no. It's something new every year. And it's, you know, now I'm looking for where is the joy and where's the blessing and just finding and rooting those things out. And it just makes your life so full. Mm-hmm. And my life is so much fuller now. Than it was 5 years ago. So
you could agree with what Nancy said that your life didn't end. Life wasn't over when you experienced this.
No, and people, I realize that as you get older, I hit a milestone this year, so I turned 70, which was very traumatic for me to turn 70. I thought, how in the world? You don't realize till you start talking with other people how much you know about the gospel.
Say more about that.
And because you're always going to Bible study, you're always learning, and you if you continue to read and you continue to try to understand more of your relationship with God and more of his story about how your life fits into mm-hmm. that story and about how important you are to him, that I still cry every once in a while because I can't think that God reached down and said, you're important, you know, that I love you.
You're not resentful towards God for taking this very good thing away from you?
No, because I know that that's what was written.
Yeah.
That's what was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. So even though that's painful, you still experience God as good and kind.
And he gave me Dan for 30 years. Yeah. I mean, he gave me a person that put stability in my life, that put love in my life, that made me feel important.
Yeah.
And somebody I could share and have a relationship with. And I'm grateful for those 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
That in this day and age when people just throw marriages away,
right,
that you have that that full, all those memories and have built you up into a good person.
Yeah.
And then I think that building up, and then God said, okay, now it's time for you to go do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that there's other things waiting around the corner for me that he hasn't revealed yet.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is I'm settled in.
Yeah.
And this is the rest of my life. I think there's more out there.
So as you said, at 70, you still don't feel like, okay, and now I can audit the rest of life. I can just take a breather. There's more for you still yet.
Yeah. And I get so excited finding things in the Bible that I didn't know. It's to me, it's like a kid, you know, you read something new and go, wow, I didn't know this. And something in our Bible study, we were studying Hebrews and Hebrews 11. And I thought, oh, how many times have you read Hebrews 11?
Right.
And then it came to one of the judges and I went, I don't know this name. And I started digging back in there and I went, look what this guy did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another story. I get so excited about the Old Testament Bible stories, the people in there. So, and I want to share it all with people, but there's so much I don't know that I still want to know.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. I'm thinking about some who might be listening who they've not experienced, the death of a spouse. And yet, they are experiencing some things that feels like life's never going to be the same, or they anticipate if this does or doesn't happen, my life will be over. What would you say? What do you know that they don't know?
That you don't know everything.
That's right. That's right. Yes, and you need. That's when you need to trust in the Lord that He's going to work it out.
Yeah,
and He wants good things.
Yeah.
For you. He really wants good things for you. And when you talk about younger people, I would tell them to enjoy the simple things. And
what's something you have in mind when you say that?
I think we need to be still. Be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
Just be still and enjoy nature.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the little things. When you're raising young children, you can get caught up in life. And you miss out on a lot. So just enjoy those tender moments, those quiet moments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let God speak to you. So I'm learning that right now. See, I'm 76. And I'm just ending a Bible study on how to hear the voice of God.
You're still expecting God to speak to you?
Yes.
Yes.
But you have to have the right posture.
Okay.
For that.
I'll relay a story that was just told to me this last week.
Yeah.
I'm in a D group, and we talk about the Holy Spirit a lot because we're in the New Testament, and in the Acts of the Apostles right now.
And the Holy Spirit's pretty active.
Holy Spirit, yes. They said that they should be renamed to the Acts of the Holy Spirit
and not the Acts of the Apostles. Yes.
So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So my sister who lives in Lufkin is in our D group because we do it through Zoom, okay. So she can join us. And she's worked in churches for years and years and years and years. And she called one of the old pastors that she had, and she says, explain this to me. How does this work? How can you, some people not hear, and do they lose the Holy Spirit? Once the Holy Spirit's with you, do they lose it? So the bottom line here was that he was a preacher to children. So he's telling us on a three-year-old level, this, which is great for me to understand. But he says, once you have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't leave you. It's that you have the ability to turn it up or to turn it down. It's like a radio. And that if you turn it up and you're listening, you're going to hear that Holy Spirit talking to you. Mm-hmm. If you stray away, you've just turned the volume down to where you can't hear it at all. So, and of course, there's degrees in between, but, you know, my advice is turn up that volume on the Holy Spirit and listen to what he's telling you.
And that's coming from the project manager.
Mm. Yes, that's, there you go.
what would you say to a young couple who may have been married less than 5 years or less than 10 years? And, you know, they're probably making some assumptions of, you know, decades together. What would you say to them?
You have a lot to learn.
That's good.
You know, when you get married, that's a commitment. That's a contract. And it's no longer about you. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're young, you know, and get to know each other, communicate as much as you possibly can. Because we see things from a different perspective. And so you just need to learn as much as you can about your spouse, mm-hmm. and, you know, try to put them before yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I can back up just
Please.
A second when we were talking about Bible classes.
Yeah.
Anyone who does not know the Bible, they've not read the Bible, a lot of times they'll shy away from going to a Bible study.
Okay.
My advice to them is go. If you're in a church mm-hmm. like this, mm-hmm. You're around people that would care about you, and it doesn't matter what you know.
Yeah.
It's the only way you're going to – it's a good way to learn.
A good way, yeah.
It's a good way to learn.
I appreciate saying that, and not just self-serving. That part of my responsibility here is to project manage the Bible mm-hmm. studies, but mm-hmm. We have adult studies that meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30. And we have studies that meet on Tuesday mornings and Wednesday nights and the ones that are happening in D groups. And so I really appreciate you saying that because there isn't a level of expertise someone needs to obtain before they can learn or grow and in fact, your greatest growth spurts aren't necessarily, at the very end. It's usually at the beginning. And I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I mean, I still am uncomfortable if they say, okay, well, turn to the book of Amos.
Like, where the heck is Amos?
Hey, where's Amos?
I'm a professional Christian. I still go on the table of contents. Yeah.
And I look over here and everybody's flipping right to Amos and I don't have a clue. So don't be intimidated by that.
Yeah.
You're among good people here.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, I went to a Bible study, I think it was last year, and I thought, you know, I really don't like this person that's leading this Bible study. And I don't know if I really want to do this one or not. And I thought, you know, stretch yourself. It was one of the best Bible mm-hmm. studies. And I saw people I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So it's fellowship.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to what other people are saying also. Their comments are good.
Yeah.
And could apply to you. You may be thinking what they're thinking, and you go in going, think of this. I'm kind of off course here. Mm-hmm. They're thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So stretch yourself and discover new stuff in there.
Good. Anything else that you have in mind? Like, I want to make sure I say this about my experience that I didn't prompt or ask you at this point.
One of the questions that you had was, I think it was one of the questions was what, I don't even know, I'm losing my mind now.
Well, there's one I haven't asked yet, which is how would you explain this to a 10-year-old?
Oh, well.
Maybe it's a different one.
That's a different one.
I didn't ask you, what would you know?
Well, you know, the one thing I wanted to say was that we read in the Bible about widows. Mm-hmm. And widows in the Old Testament are different than widows now.
Okay.
Because a lot of us are able to support ourselves. And the widows, when they talk about widows and orphans in the Bible, they're talking about at a time when Jesus was living that widows had nothing because you could not, you couldn't support yourself. Mm-hmm. You couldn't eat. You had no means of getting food, getting clothing, anything.
As Nancy said before, get all the financial stuff figured out. There was nothing to figure out because there just wasn't any means. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a retirement or all that kind of thing. Yes. Okay.
Well, and my case may have been different. I was the manager of our finances. Mm-hmm. So it was really not a big deal for me. The big deal was the things that he used to do, I no longer have. Mm-hmm. And it, for a while, I was trying to fill in and do everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
Take out the garbage, wash the car, just all those things that your partner would do for you that, you split up, all that.
Yeah,
it's half gone. And here I am trying to run around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to do everything. And then I realized I don't have to do everything. I do have to get the garbage out, okay? But I resent that I have to do that, okay? But my car's dirty. So what?
Yeah.
It's sitting out there. It's not washed.
Yeah.
I am able to hire a guy to cut my grass. Mm-hmm. But the men at this church fill in for the widows where we need help.
Mm-hmm.
The maintenance on my house.
Mm-hmm.
I can't climb ladders. And Dave Bachman comes over and changes out the filter on my air conditioner twice a year.
Yeah.
And things like this, when I need help with something that I physically can't do that a husband would do.
Yeah.
The men of this church, the Romeo group, have just been aces. And that's our church stepping up.
Yeah.
And I've just come to understand that I know where my part is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now allowing other people to help me, which I never did before.
Mm-hmm.
And people will, they're there to help you. You're blessing them by letting them bless you.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, something that we don't know and we don't easily can get set in our minds that, we want to be helping people, but we don't want to take from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And
when we do that, we're unaware that we're preventing someone from experiencing their joy of serving you.
Yes, absolutely.
And HVAC filter is not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. So let them do it.
They rebuilt part of the fence in my backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys came over and did that, which I couldn't find anybody else to do because fence companies don't want anything under certain amount.
Right.
And they came over and rebuilt that fence, and it's standing up strong now. And things like that you just need, you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our church is for.
Yeah. Nancy, anything else come to mind as far as this is what widows are different than the Bible times? This is what widows, because we have commands in the scripture to care for widows. And so when we don't, we're actually violating scripture. We're actually sinning. So when we don't help widows and orphans, we're committing, violating the explicit commands. Are there other ways of widows that weren't mentioned yet that widows need help or ways you needed help?
Well, I think this church does a really good job of taking care of the widows. I will say that. And I would feel uncomfortable sometimes asking, but it's like taking away their blessing.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're blessing me.
Yeah.
And it's like when we volunteer.
Right.
we're blessed. Mm-hmm. We're blessed so much by blessing other people. And I think we sometimes forget that. Yeah. So don't take away their blessing. But our church does a great job.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. How would you explain widowhood to a child, to a 10-year-old?
Well, I explain it to an 8-year-old
okay.
a lot.
You got an 8-year-old?
She understands that Grandpa is not here, mm-hmm. But that he loved her very much, mm-hmm. And that we're living without him, and he's in heaven, and that we'll see him someday, but that we're having to depend on other people. She sees the people that come over and help mm-hmm. in our lives,
yeah.
and something breaks, and I'll go, oh, let's call Mr. Dave and see yeah. if he could come over. In fact, he's come over one time, the door handle of the refrigerator came off, and I couldn't open the refrigerator. I was like, Dave, calm down.
We're getting hungry.
Yeah, I was fixing dinner. So things like that, she sees that, and we talk about that,
yeah.
that this is God's plan, and that our church is a fellowship, that the church is there for us to help others and others help
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And I explain that to her yeah. and she understands. They accept it.
Yeah.
It's just that we talk about, yes, I miss Grandpa mm-hmm. and but it's okay. Well, I'll see him someday.
Yeah.
She needs that reassurance that he loved her.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the biggest thing because yeah. there's no men in her
yeah.
life. It's
yeah.
a house of women. So, she really, they need to understand that yes, it's a separation, but it's temporary.
Yeah.
It's there, they will be, I will see him again
yeah.
and I will have a relationship. Well, yeah. he won't be my husband, obviously
right.
in heaven,
right.
but, that I will get to see.
Yeah.
And you said too, Cynthia, that you were blessed by having him.
Absolutely.
As long as you did.
Absolutely.
And so that was a gift,
yeah.
you know. And
yeah.
if we, it's our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we need to look at,
yeah.
at things.
Yeah. This spouse, you experienced, you know, because it's gone, he's gone now, this is painful. And that shows us he was a good gift from God. And God was good for letting you enjoy and experience him. So even sometimes the absence of these things reminds us, okay, those were good. You were
yes.
good for giving it, God. Anything mm-hmm. you would add to how you explain this to a young child?
Well, that was a tough one,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you don't want to say, okay, kid, life is tough.
Kid, I'm not going to lie to you like everybody
Suck
else.
Suck it up.
Yeah. Don't get used to those participation trophies.
But I think Cynthia said it very well.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like they deserted you. They didn't desert you, you
yeah.
know. And it's important to know, you know, how much mm-hmm. they loved the ones that I left behind.
Yeah. Can you imagine going through this experience without a church?
No.
No. Absolutely
no.
not.
I don't see how people get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Without a relationship with mm-hmm. God.
I
don't. I have a sister-in-law who is Jewish, which is another story.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost her mom. And this has been 5 or 6 years. She's still devastated.
Mm-hmm.
She has trouble getting up in the morning and functioning. And it's because she doesn't have that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get up and pray, and it's like, okay, I miss Dan, so I pray.
Yeah, the comfort you experience, this person's not experiencing.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, and just knowing, you know, God's always there.
Mm-hmm.
They, who do they have?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
it's just it's sad. It's
mm-hmm.
it's really sad to think that someone is trying to get through this.
Yeah.
I was listening to the radio this week. I'm a big bluegrass fan.
Okay.
So there's a bluegrass song that I had heard for the first time, which is an old song, and it says, "He reaches down from the sky and wipes the tear from my eye." Mm-hmm. And that just kind of stuck with me, that that's what I'm experiencing, is is that goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people that don't have a relationship, you can't do it on your own. You don't have that.
No one's competent enough,
right,
to navigate these things. Yep. So all on your own, this kind of traumatic thing can really feel like this is life-ending.
Yes.
But with your relationship with God and the church family he's put around you, what I've heard you both describe is actually in some very unexpected ways, I'm flourishing.
Yes.
And I expect to keep on flourishing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I said one more question. Do you still shoot today, Cynthia?
I have not.
Okay.
I can. I've given most of the firearms that were my husband's. His arms were longer than mine, obviously.
Right.
I've got a little short arms.
Right.
I still have my firearms. My son has a lot of them, and he does shoot. Okay. He lives in Oklahoma. So he does shoot.
Well,
so
if you ever get the itch, I think the three of us should get together and do some target shooting.
If anybody wants to go to the range, let me know.
All right. Cynthia's ready for the range. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you both agreeing to do this and sharing. I know there's important things that you said today. And I also want to thank you for listening. If something came to mind during this conversation that would be encouraging to someone else, please send them a link and an invite. And I think also, if there's something that really struck you, please feel free to approach Cynthia or approach Nancy. The part of what they're talking about is those who are older in Christ, blessing those younger in Christ. They're certainly open to doing that. If you've heard a few episodes of this podcast, do us a favor and give us a review. This makes it easier for people to find us. It also makes us feel pretty good. If you have suggestions for other stories, you can contact me, Blake@grandparkway.org. And once again, these are the stories you've missed.